The more I study today's top design teams, the more clear that it becomes that we're entering the era of a new type of design leader. And that's what this episode is all about. So let's start by hearing one of my favorite analogies from Alex Schleifer, the longtime chief design officer at Airbnb.
I had this kind of philosophy around management, to many counterintuitive, which was that becoming a, you know, rising up in a leadership change, I was often told, well, you change altitude. So now you see things from higher, right? To folks, that meant when you're at that altitude, that's where you operate. You only operate at that altitude. But my philosophy around leadership is you need to become kind of like a falcon. You need to operate at that altitude, but you need to be ready to get down to the ground when something happens, right?
This idea of moving fluidly between altitudes was something that Mig Reyes from Duolingo and Instagram talked about as well.
I'm the head of the whole function for product experience. I've got to know the names of our components. I'm going to articulate the details of why something feels off by a few milliseconds, all the way to, here's where we're headed as a product and, you know, in the next several years.
Another one of my favorite examples of this archetype of design leader is Derek Briggs. So here's a clip from his time leading design at Clerk.
I'm not going to let this job just be managing people and tasks, that I'm going to be pushing a bunch of code and doing a bunch of design because I'm so passionate about it and I care so much about the output and being a part of the output with the team and influencing the other designers and engineers on the team. It's a really special position to be in to influence the direction from a leadership perspective and then all the way down to pushing code right with everybody else.
These are the exact type of leaders that Airbnb is still prioritizing. Here's their current VP of design, Teo Connor, to share a little bit about what they're looking for today.
Bringing in talent that were, especially the leaders, were really still able to be in the work. So still able to be designers. And the reason that's important is if you want your team to kind of be experts in design and you want them to be, you know, showing up as leaders, you need their leaders to be able to know what they're talking about and to kind of uphold that craft and to be able to say, like, you know, we could, you know, change that interaction or we could do this differently. They, you know, they're going to be upholding that high bar. So there's a shift away from the design managers or leaders being just people managers, which sometimes happens in organizations, and really still being able to be in the craft and being, you know, trusted and respected design leaders.
It reminds me of another one of Alex Schleifer's metaphors.
A leader for us should be a chef. That person's still in the kitchen. She's not chopping carrots, you know, doing prep or whatever, but she's in the kitchen. And if somebody cuts their finger, she can take over the sauce station or whatever, right? Like, that's the type of people you want on board as much as possible. And turns out that if you hire people like that, you need less people. You can build flatter organizations. Everybody's talking the same language. Performance management is easier because everybody's kind of understands, you know, the expectations for an individual contributor. And also individual contributors benefit from it because they're learning from people who know what they're talking about.
That idea that Alex and Teo are talking about was a guiding principle for Mig when he was brought in to revamp design management at Duolingo.
I think design management in the industry has perhaps devolved into paper pushing, running performance reviews, you know, doing a lot of hand-wavy organizational things and not enough leading design, leading product. So that was the change I wanted to bring to Duolingo, product design management. Let's get good at product. Let's get good at talking about design, because the way we're going to earn trust into being in more executive decision-making rooms is no one will be able to talk about craft as good as us. You are hiring leaders for their pace, their bar for excellence. I expect you to be able to evaluate your entire team's body of work. You should consider yourself the studio head of your team and be able to bravely flag where work is falling short.
Real quick message, and then we can jump back into it. So I'm working on a lot of video and playback features for the first time, and honestly, I have no idea what I would do if it wasn't for Mobin. You can use natural language to search for anything that you're working on. They even have visual search, so you can upload a screenshot of your designs and then see relevant UI for inspiration. I mean, it's a total cheat code, and I cannot imagine designing without it, so head to dive.club/Mobin to get started today. If you're working on a startup right now, then I have some pretty good news for you, because Framer just released an incredible offer that gives startups free access to their launch plan for a year. That's $900 to design and ship your site with Framer, which is a total no-brainer. I mean, I even took advantage of the deal myself. So definitely don't miss out on this offer. You can head to framer.com/startups to learn more. Okay, now on to the episode. The reality is, it's almost impossible to have leaders who are capable of operating as this keeper of the craft unless they have a rich background as an IC.
The thing that is true of every manager on our team today, at one point in their career, they were an excellent IC. I really think that to be a great manager, it is a hard job. You have to love the people side. But you earn credibility from the business and the ICs from having once been an excellent IC in your career before. Now, that doesn't mean just because you're an incredible senior IC, you'll automatically be a good manager. But the art of knowing actually what you're talking about, being able to jump into Figma if it push came to shove to jam with an IC, that's what I was looking for.
I pretty much rejected the management track from the beginning. It just felt synonymous with a separation from the craft in my mind, but maybe that doesn't have to be the case. Also, listening to Mig talk about leaders jamming with ICs reminded me of Diego Zaks, the VP of design at Ramp, and how thoughtfully he collaborates with other designers on the team.
I've had to change from designing the solution and showing people like, hey, here's what I wanted you to have done, to making my version, trying to deconstruct the decisions that were made to arrive at a different version, and then share that framework for how I made my decisions, and then sharing that with people and saying, now go make your third version. That's better. Like all the good stuff of that you did, some of the good stuff that I did, and here's a third version that's way better than anything I would have done by myself.
This is what being an effective coach looks like. And it only works if you're able to dive into the details and meaningfully contribute at the pixel level.
I really expect our design leaders to be excellent coaches, mentors, and teachers. You have to be a support person. You have to be a peer that we can go to You have high standards, but I feel safe to learn from you at the same time.
Now, I'm not devaluing people skills. I mean, that can be a whole episode on its own. The point is that as an industry, we're valuing a different type of leader, one with taste and the skills necessary to uphold craft. So that's all for this episode. I'll be back after Config when we get to hear from Zach Leach, who's the head of design at one of the hottest AI startups called Gamma. So I will see you on Friday.